I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Hi, I'm Bowen from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Matt from Las Culturistas. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship?
Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks.
Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business.
You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow.
My, oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Cool. Wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Hi, guys. We're not starting off with our standard ding-dong Las Culturistas calling because we are here to show you a little preview of what our Patreon episodes are like. So for $5 a month, you can donate on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Las Culturistas. And we're going to give you some great specific content.
Yes, and I'm Matt Rogers, and I'm the other host. And when I speak on this podcast about RuPaul's Drag Race, it resonates.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know why I went into that accent. But guys, we are talking about RuPaul's Drag Race season 10 all season long, in addition to our Vulture recaps. This is really, I would say, slightly better than our recaps because we're having real-time conversations. We're realizing things as we're talking about them, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say as Matt Rogers, the other host of the podcast who does the Patreon as well, that I think that it's really very good.
Yes. So thank you so much, Matt, for that beautiful, beautiful, putting beautiful words to that. And we hope to see you on Patreon. So enjoy this episode. This is us recapping RuPaul's Drag Race Season 10, Episode 3. If you want more, check us out at Patreon.
And I'm Matt Rogers, and this will be Patreon.
Bye.
Well, hello, you fools, queens, and thieves.
It's another episode of Las Culturistas Recaps RuPaul's Drag Race.
We're so sorry we've missed a couple of episodes, but we are so happy to be joining you guys again on Patreon. Thanks again for donating.
And to be fair, it was like the beginning of the season. We didn't miss much.
Totally, totally. We've all had time to digest what's happening. And speaking of what's happening, I'm really, really into this season already.
Oh, I love this season.
Yes.
I think this is a great season. I think we have amazing queens. Not a lot of filler queens happening here.
Sure.
I mean, this is competitive fish.
If the first queen out is already providing the most entertaining meme of the year so far.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Miss Manji.
Miss Manji.
I don't know if I like it as much as everyone else seems to.
I'm just admiring how long it's been. It's been a full week and a half, almost 2 weeks since she's been eliminated, and this thing is still going.
It's pretty crazy. It makes me feel like she'll have a life after the show.
Well, that's the thing. It's like,
I don't think she's coming back, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, friend of the show, Josh Sharp, is like really trying to put out like the secret into the world of actualizing that she's going to come back by saying she's going to be a bring back. She's going to be a bring back. But like, if you saw her watch it packing with Michelle, like Michelle, like you can see the look in Michelle's eyes when she realizes like, oh, wow, you're so funny and charming.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish you could have. She literally says, oh, I wish you could have stayed longer. And so, yeah. Like, that's telling you right there that, like, Michelle Visage, like, they've shot the whole season. Like, Vanjie looks completely different. She's gotten, like, facial hair and a different hair color. Like, this is post-season. They're shooting this. And it's clear that she does not make a return.
Unless Michelle Visage is the actress
of the year. Century, honey.
And she would have to be.
I think Michelle is a very talented person.
I think Michelle is incredibly talented, and I love her as a judge. And anyone that doesn't like Michelle Visage, I think you really need to look within.
Look, and I don't mean to name drop, but I'm going to name drop a little bit.
I wrote
for Logo some like fun ad copy that like she, Bob the Drag Queen, and Kasan from Fire Island performed. And like I was on set for just a few moments, but like Michelle was just reading them cue cards, that prompter, like a fucking pro. She's an amazing
did
talent.
She seem to enjoy the words
she
that were
did
coming out of
she
her
was
mouth?
She was giggling at a few jokes, and then she like punched up some jokes on set. She didn't know that I was like, she didn't know who I was. I was just kind of standing to the side, but she was like, she was like, how about this, and the director was like, yeah, that's great. And I was like, yeah, that is better. Like, she is a total pro.
There you go
honey.
You think she would win Drag Race?
I think so. I think honestly, like, I know
Michelle,
like,
Visage,
I know, like, people say that like you can't have the show without Rue hosting, but like in some alternate reality, like, she would be an amazing host of the show.
But you know what though, Rue is the host, and Rue really doesn't judge.
Michelle judges.
It matters what Michelle says. Rue doesn't say shit. Rue makes decisions based on what everyone around him says, and mostly Michelle.
The only time Michelle, and yeah, even like I'm trying to think of the last like critical moment, like critical Rue moment that she's like really critiqued someone, and all I can think of is like Aja during the Studio 54 challenge and All Stars 3, where Rue was like, you know, the 70s weren't that long ago, which we've established to be false.
Yeah.
But that was even going off of, that was piggybacking off of something Michelle said.
Yeah. I mean, even this year, she said about Aquaria, it's very exciting. She's very exciting. Her drag is very future forward. And that was like something that you never hear.
Yeah.
Like, you never hear Rue go out of her way to be like, except with Yua Hamasaki, Dearly Departed.
She did
say a couple of times, she could really take a cue from the pageant girls about learning how to take a critique.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that was probably like, Yua was fine, and like, you know, she didn't, you know, obviously she like made some huge missteps in this challenge, but like her biggest problem was that she talked back all the time.
Yeah. No, it was weird.
Yeah. I don't know if that's an edit necessarily.
It could be.
Could be, but like some of the stuff is like, it's like, okay.
But the judges were remarking on it. So.
Yeah. Right. And I think Ross this week was like, she always has a clap back.
Carson
said that. Oh yeah, Ross wasn't there.
And then Michelle confirmed. She's like, it's always a clap back.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Nico Tortorella's suit.
Oh, that was fun.
That was a really good suit.
The grid, the white grid.
Yeah,
suit.
I was like, oh my god, where do you think you got that?
Oh, Top Shop.
Probably something really fancy.
Yeah, fancy boy.
So Yua, do we have any good feelings about her? Do we feel kind of whatever? I feel like she could have done more.
Well, you and I like had a blast making fun of how truly like
insane,
balls to the wall insane her interviews have been before the show. I don't know. She was giving you some cool like Asian inspired looks that are distinct from other Asian queens on the show. Mm-hmm. She was giving you very elevated like Dowager Empress fish, and like that was cool. Like, as a Chinese person, I was like, that is really cool to see. Actually, like, we haven't had a fully Chinese queen, which is different, like, of course, from like Kimchi, a Korean queen.
Yeah.
The references are different, the aesthetics are different. Obviously Yu is a very different queen from Kimchi. I thought it was cool to see some like Chi Pao motifs, but like, I didn't think she had what it took to stay any longer than she did.
I don't know. I think probably I'm looking at this list now, especially this year. It's such a competitive year. Like,
it's
I was
great
saying,
year.
Like, calorie even.
Yeah.
Like, in a weaker season, she would have done better.
Totally. But, like, you can say that, like, comparatively, she is, like, she was positioned as, like, you know, the Sacha Bell or Magnolia Crawford of her season.
She didn't come with the materials to win. You know what I mean? Like, that was her best drag outfit.
Right.
Like, was that bodysuit, which maybe somewhere else is like best drag. But
meanwhile,
like,
she's very talented.
Yeah, no, she's good.
Yeah.
She's good. She's certainly good queen. I mean, it's just like we were saying, it's tough to look at the list and say, that's a competitive one.
Right.
You know?
And actually, you know, maybe her being an Albuquerque-based queen is different. Like, she has different resources than all these LA and New York and Chicago-based queens. Yeah. Even the Southern queens, I feel like, might be more, like, they can pick up a rhinestone thing, like, from the store, because all the women are doing it, or something. I don't know. I'm talking out of my ass.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a strong roster.
It's, you know, it's so strong, and actually, like, the strong queens are kind of surprising me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would never have thought that Cameron was capable of that runway.
Me too.
Like, I just, obviously, I don't know a lot about her because I really wrote her off. But then that runway was good. That runway was like, it reminded me of whenever Trinity K. Bonet would struggle in the challenges, but then hit the runway in something fierce.
Yeah.
Like that bird runway, the feathers runway for Cameron was like
pretty awesome.
Yeah. It was good.
And even like for a second, I was like, oh, well, that's too similar to Eureka's. But Eureka was giving you goth, but Cameron was giving you villain.
She was giving you like literal vulture.
Yes. Like fucking Charlize in Snow White and the Huntsman.
Yeah. No, she was giving you vulture, and Eureka was giving you kind of like, campy raven, like a haunted campy house. Goth,
yeah.
Goth moment.
Right. Which I also loved. I loved the eyes. I kind of think Eureka had the best look of the night.
I think that Eureka had the best look of the night, yes. I just think that Cameron was not far behind.
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah.
And they were very similar.
Most of the runway looks were great.
Same. I thought this was a strong runway.
Cameron was lucky because she was literally saved by it, although I did know that Mayhem was going to be in the bottom.
Sure.
Because I didn't care for her dress.
Yeah.
But her eyes were great, and her makeup looked great, whatever. Like, she's an amazing queen. It's just, like, the choices in this episode were so weird. Like, the choice to just totally fade into the back of the commercial and not say anything or do anything.
Right. Here's a thought, like, because you and I are both kind of disappointed with the best drag runway from last week.
I just think some of them just, like, obviously didn't do the assignment well.
But I'm saying, like, it's weird that, like, all their best drag looks, like, when there's no hard theme applied, that, like, they kind of stumble and it's actually probably not their best.
Yeah.
But when there's this theme of, like, feathers, I thought so many of the looks this week were amazing. And it's like, oh, that would have been your best drag had it not been for this theme.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Asia O'Hara's outfit, like, this week, I loved.
It's so funny.
I really loved it. And I loved it so much more than what she did for best drag.
Yes.
Because to me, Asia O'Hara, I've been not super on board with her the first few weeks because it feels so gaudy to me. It's so pageant.
Yeah,
like, her best drag was so much. The color,
right.
The like makeup, the like, I don't know, the hair, like it was just red is so passionate to me. The fact that it was a ballroom dress, it looked like someone who was doing their like talent in a pageant.
Yeah.
And I was just like not into it. But now in this episode, I feel like she got creative.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see her looks outside of the show, like on Instagram and like what she wore and like the conversation with Sasha Velour, like she's got cool stuff.
Her wigs are great.
Yeah, like I don't know. I just, from what she's presented in the competition besides this episode, when you put that up against what she's presented outside of the show, I'm like, it feels like we're not seeing your best.
Yeah.
Because I do like her as of this episode. Asia.
Got it. I'm still not totally sold. Like the dress, dress was great. I was frustrated that like the judges were like going gaga over this Tweety Bird reference. They were like, the reference, but it's like, okay, well, Monique gave you a Cookie Monster thing and you guys like didn't bat a fucking eye.
Yeah. I mean, my thing,
I'm just like griping about their treatment of Monique.
I totally agree with you. I mean, it was weird. It's weird how much Monique is just getting kind of brushed aside. This episode, she got a lot of focus, but I don't know, like, I think that Monique is definitely one of the better ones.
Yeah, she's so great to watch.
And it's weird to see her getting kind of an iffy edit.
Yeah, where you're not really sure where this is going to go.
Like, did the show really think we were going to go for, like, oh, Monique is really pushy in the director thing? I was like, I don't know if she's pushy. I just think she's helping. She's directing alongside Michelle and
Carson
because she's the team leader and, like, she came up with the stuff.
Sure. I mean, I think some of the moments can read as micromanaging.
Yeah.
Like when Mayhem was up.
I don't know. Mayhem was lost.
Mayhem was lost, and like Monique was trying to give her like something to use, but like it just looks like it's such an easy thing to be like, oh, look, pointing at fucking Monique, she's being real micromanaging.
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's weird.
It also, like, I feel like there just as easily was a narrative of, like, Monique saying to camera, Mayhem is doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Because, like, the whole episode, Mayhem was... And catatonic. Also, that would have served the narrative better, too, because totally. She ends up in the bottom, too. I just think they didn't get that, like... talking head from Mayhem, maybe, that came forward about why she was being so quiet. I feel like we have to kind of guess that it was because she got chosen late.
Exactly.
But she was shut down from the beginning.
And you didn't really understand why she was, like, catatonic.
Yeah, I think it would have been nice to hear about that and for them to push that narrative instead of this Monique is bossy narrative.
Totally.
Because really all they were trying to do... And even Asia said Monique is really effectively running her team
mm-hmm.
when they were putting their makeup on. And so for them to then turn it into like Monique's being too much, I thought was weird. I was like, yeah, but if you're not going to do anything, you're going to end up in the bottom too. And then totally. So Mayhem did. Good thing she fucking killed the lip sync.
Oh, yeah. Although, like, there was a second where, like, until the air guitar became too much on Yuhua, like, I was like, oh, like, this isn't a total, like... open and shut
I thought
thing.
It was pretty done deal from the beginning when she lifted her head up and started the whole song.
I mean, she was... And then when she started plucking feathers that up, was I was cool. like...
Oh! Her eyes were perfect
her eyes
for it,
were
too.
So good for it. And what yeah. a great song, Celebrity Skin.
It was a great song. It was a great week for guest judges. I thought Nico was very engaged.
Yes.
And I thought Courtney Love gave us great sound bites. Literally, she goes, she was meh. I mean, I don't know.
I love Courtney Love's voice now. She's just like...
yeah.
So sleepy, so funny.
We did see the resurrection of Eureka this week.
Yes, which is great. She was so funny in the challenge.
One of the best runways... we've seen.
I love that runway.
Yeah.
And
she was funny in the challenge. Yeah, girl, we know.
That is, like, Michelle was right. Like, that the fact that she could deliver that line and make it funny and memorable is great.
Yeah.
And Cracker was great. Cracker's, like, really, really, really coasting in a lot of, like, goodwill, good work.
Yeah, Cracker was not killing it on the runway, though.
Yeah, you don't think?
I just thought it could have been exciting, and it wasn't exciting. I, like, literally don't remember what she even wore.
She did the whole green blue thing. It was a dedication to her best friend who passed away. Remember that? She had like a dark wig on. She was doing, and her voiceover during the runway was like, I'm not doing a character this week, but the story behind this look is that, the day after my best friend passed away, a green and blue bird like landed on my window, like made a nest on my window. And I took that, and this is a tribute to them.
Yeah, I guess the look itself just isn't standing out to me.
Sure. And this is the thing I was thinking about this today. Like, I don't buy Cracker's whole self-branding thing of like, I'm crazy. It's like, no, you're actually really polished and you're always very put together. Like, don't say you're crazy if you're not crazy.
I think the Barbie on bath salts thing is like a misbrand.
Because it's like, that's what I'm saying.
You're not out of control. You're actually really smart and measured.
And she's like, yeah, Bob's my drag mother. She goes, funny runs in the family. But like, there was some other comment she made where she was like, yeah, I'm crazy. But it's like, no, it's fine that you're not crazy because you're good. Anyway.
Unless there's something we don't know.
I mean, we've seen her live. Like, she's
not crazy.
She's
I mean,
not
like,
crazy.
There's not, that's not the narrative. And
no.
I don't know. Bottom two for that, maybe.
Oh my God, Miss Cracker liked my Instagram of me with my Easter ham that I made this weekend.
She did?
She liked it. And I was like,
does she follow
Cracker.
You?
I think she follows you too.
Really?
I think she follows us. Because remember, we saw her one night and like we both went up on stage or something, and like her publicist.
I know that it was like her manager.
Her manager was like,
was
you
like
guys
hitting us up.
Yeah, and it was like, oh, you. And we were like, yeah, we run this sketch group or something, or like we were like,
oh,
we
yeah, that was
shows.
Back then. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this was like years ago. This was season.
I remember the first time we saw Cracker. I never forgot her.
Yeah, and then her manager was like, put us in touch and probably ran her social media at the time.
Yeah.
And like followed us on Twitter and Instagram.
Cool.
So well, we love Cracker.
Yeah, Cracker, she kind of, like, was in the back of the narrative this episode. But speaking of stepping to the front of the narrative, I think we should probably talk about Dusty.
Dusty. Oh, my God.
And I know that was, like...
It was, I mean, yeah, like, I've been through this kind of crazy week with my parents where it was just, like, just old wounds sort of reopened around me being gay. And, like, we haven't really... made progress, but it's okay. This isn't to vilify them. It's just like there's still a lot of middle ground that we have to cover in terms of like understanding where the other side is coming from. But I am very much in the zone of like, wow, it's very specifically because they're immigrants and it's part of the reason why, but I'm like, God, most white families, you know, already have this leg up where it's like culturally, it's like there's more common ground to go off of. And like, this is so unique to me and like, blah, 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 blah. I was being very solipsistic about it. But then to see Dusty like talk about this whole thing was so emotional. And I was like, oh, this is obviously not exactly what I went through, but like,
quite similar.
Quite similar. Like, I went to a fucking conversion therapist and like my parents were like my dad, yeah, the way I came out for the first time was like my parents found something on the computer. And like as soon as Dutchie said that, I was like, oh my God. I was like already on board. I was already like, wow, I already relate to this so hard. And then to hear like the parents' reaction and then the conversion therapy and that fucking pastor, I was like, Jesus.
Hey, it's Bowen, and I want to introduce you to the new Cantina Chicken menu at Taco Bell. Yes, it's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients, great as a lunchtime option. Taste for yourself the slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. With new menu options like Cantina Chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadillas, there's something for everyone. And Taco Bell isn't just for a late night. With this new Cantina Chicken menu, the possibilities are, well, endless. Try the new Cantina Chicken menu at Taco Bell now. Now, I said.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Oh, the summertime is the right time to start building credit, Bo.
I've always said this since I was a child.
Summer should be fun, not financially stressful.
You know what I love about the Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card?
What?
There are no annual fees, interest, or credit checks to apply.
Yes!
And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans, like for a car or home.
With the Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, build credit using your own money.
You can also get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit.
With Chime's secure credit card, you can improve your credit scores all summer long. Get started today at chime.com/culturistas. That's chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
You know, Bo, my sister texted me yesterday. She goes, I just ordered a Helix mattress. I am so excited. And she said, Mommy said, you have one too. I said, yes, I have the Helix Midnight. She said, that's the one I got. And I said, well, you're going to be very happy, Chelsea.
That's an amazing story. And it reminds me, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including their award-winning Luxe and Ultra Premium Elite collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts.
Take the Helix sleep quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped right to your door free of charge.
There's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences.
Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/lasculturistas. That's helixsleep.com/lasculturistas. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
It really, really, really.
He really painted
hit.
The image. It was scary.
So well rendered and so well described and communicated. I got so emotional. And I texted you. I was like, holy shit, Dusty this week.
Yeah.
And you were like, don't say anything else. I was like, okay, but just so like you know what to expect.
I was surprised by what I saw.
Yeah.
I thought it was like going to be like a basic emotional breakthrough, like in terms of her drag or something, but it was that. And
it was that. And I was
because
like,
I saw like when Blair was talking about how close she is with her mom,
which is great, which is beautiful.
Yeah. And they cut to Dusty.
Yeah.
And they cut to Dusty, who was like looking over, and like that piqued his interest.
But I love that Dusty, that the Dusty's takeaway wasn't bitterness. It was, I'm really happy to see people like Blair have supportive families. Yeah. It wasn't like, well, Blair's advantage because she has a supportive family. It's like, no, this actually is good and it makes me happy. And like yeah. that, because I oftentimes will come away with like a bitterness where I see very like beautifully open supportive families. And I'm like, God damn, I don't have that. I never will. But to see Dusty like walk away from that and be like, that's really beautiful
yeah.
was like really powerful for me. So yeah, I've read Dusty for Filth on the pod, but now I don't have to be the biggest fan of her drag, but like as a person, I'm like, oh, thank you for like showing me this.
Yeah.
Thank you for this. I'm grateful that the show is able to show me yeah. this side of her.
I mean, seconds later, the runway was like a 5.
Sure. I thought everyone was great this runway. That's just me.
I don't know. There was just like too much. Like whatever was hanging down from Dusty's arms, I was like, it just seems too much to me. She was good in the challenge.
She was doing like a poison ivy fish. She had like red hair, green feathers. I liked it. I was into it. It was different. It wasn't like it was
I have
a
to
lot,
watch it again.
It was a lot of like whites and blacks and like your standard colors, but like I appreciated when people like went all out with like the colors of the feathers.
Yeah. All in with the concept.
Totally.
I actually really kind of liked the Vixen's runway look this time.
It was good.
I liked the way like she was working it on the runway.
Totally.
I liked I pretty much liked it from head to toe. I thought it was a fully executed concept and like sort of an A to C on the theme. You know what I
mean?
Totally.
Yeah,
the theme was feathers, but you know, she didn't come out there and do a predictable feathered look like someone, say, Blair did.
Exactly.
You know, she's praised for on the runway, but I think that has a lot to do with her face. Because
she looked beautiful in her wig.
Because her dress was not all that. Yeah, like, if I'm looking at the Vixen's dress and Blair's dress, I think the Vixen's dress was more impressive, actually.
Sure. It was very well structured in architecture.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Vixen since we're talking about her.
Listen, the Vixen has been
mixing
it up.
And it's by her own volition. And, like, she's very deliberately doing and behaving in this way. And it's not good or bad. It's just very like.
It's just the way she is.
It's just the way she is.
She's confrontational.
She's confrontational, but like it gets to the point where it's caustic. Like she's like getting the fear in Aquaria's eyes out. She's like really trying to freak Aquaria out.
Yeah, no, she's trying to intimidate her for sure.
It's bullying.
And she knows it and she cops to it in this episode.
Yes.
And she even says repeatedly like, well, I can get to you, so I'm going to. To the point where Aquaria leaves the room. And then the other queens tell her, like, maybe this is not necessary.
Right.
And she's like, no, actually it is. It's just a worldview that is like, okay, bitch.
It's like,
if that's what you want, I mean, you can choose to take the ribbing that all the queens give each other and somebody said something about your wig that you borrowed for your best drag. If you want to take that and really attack based on that critique, mm-hmm. you can do it that way, but you could also take it as just like, yeah, girl, like you didn't have your own wig for your best drag look, like it's you're worthy of being read for it.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, well, if you want to dish out all this like aggro, like learn to take it, dude. Like,
and you know what's funny too is it's just like Aquaria was like, you didn't use your own wig for best drag, and then Vixen goes, well, actually I did have my own wig for it. And then she was like, so what? And then I wanted to be like, what do you mean, so what? Then
no.
The answer is, then why didn't you
then
wear that
wig? Why
didn't
you use your own fucking wig?
And then Monique was like, oh, the Vixen just shut Aquaria up. I was like, that's not what
didn't.
I saw.
It's like, oh, the Vixen's being like painted into this corner where she doesn't really know what to say.
I mean, it looked like someone like reading appropriately and then someone responding back like, really
well, no,
angry.
you're wrong.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
It was just like, it was like, I don't know, you know, and like,
it's not anger. It's just like,
it's reactionary to the point where it's like unnecessary.
It's like, it's like whataboutism, you know? It's like when people are like, it's whataboutism, which is like reminiscent of like Soviet Russia and Trump, where it's like, you criticize someone and they're like, well, what about this thing?
Yeah.
And like, that is literally the definition of whataboutism. I'm not saying Vixen's really doing that, but she's just like, that's not true. Like, she's completely discounting what you're saying with nothing to back it up.
Yeah,
with.
There wasn't. I think the reason why it seemed like Aquaria was shut up is because like there was nothing to say back.
Right.
It just wasn't like, you know.
And then at a certain point, it was just the vixen being like a bully, being and just getting in someone's face and being like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna intimidate you until you leave."
And then she did. So she got what she wanted. But luckily, you know, I mean, look, the vixen backed it up for me this week.
Yeah.
Like
the look
was good.
And she was great in the challenge.
She wasn't great in the challenge, but she didn't lose the challenge.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, she didn't have that much of a part. Whatever.
I just thought her wearing the sandwich board and being like this doomsday person was like really funny.
I think we can get used to seeing the vixen. That's definitely.
I mean, they're gonna keep her around.
I think 6 more weeks at least.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Sure.
Like, I think probably like gonna stay around, and I think it will end with an Aquaria
versus the vixen
lip sync,
and not necessarily an Aquaria cracker.
Not cracker. I think that's over.
That's not gonna stick for very long.
I just think it's over.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
like, I don't think people care anymore. Because now I think Cracker is going to be like, oh, people think I'm copying her. I'm going to do the opposite thing as she does every single week.
Sure. Well, we can say that Cracker versus Aquaria was the precursor to Aquaria versus Vixen.
Yeah, absolutely. Without the scene for that.
Without that, you didn't have the other.
I don't know. Of course, Aquaria versus Vixen, like, that's a tough one because it's like, it's a tough one because it could potentially become tough, like, socially, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like, you have this like really young, like white cis, sort of like attractive, like sort probably wealthy, has like a lot of means because of the Instagram following, everything. The kid, white gay kid from New York,
going up against this like woke protest,
south queen. Side of Chicago, someone who's more of a performance queen, like, I mean, comes from drag in that area. Like, so to see those two
hard things
in conflict, that's.
It's hard.
It's disappointing. You know, I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, it might be worthwhile to just observe.
Yeah.
As all of those things are. I mean, you wish they didn't happen, but.
Right.
Anyway.
I also, Aquarius, look, this runway was. I thought it was a really nice, strong choice. Just never can see it winning.
I know. Aquarius always like, it's always great, but
it's never like, you know, what Eureka came out in this week.
Right. I did love her best drag look.
That was great.
The concentric nose rings was gorgeous.
Yeah. But then I was watching, Tudor Boot.
Mm-hmm.
Or Fashion Photo Review, which should just call it Tudor Boot.
Right.
But Raven was like, I'm so tired of the two big nose rings. Like, apparently it's been a thing.
Sometimes Raven just says bullshit, and I'm like, shut up, Raven.
Yeah.
Raven, like, has such a chip on her shoulder. Like, she hates Sasha. She used to hate Bob. Like, she, like, is just, I don't think Raven's, like, a great person.
Well, I don't
know. You heard it here first.
I guess I like her on the show, but, you know. All right, so who I have left here is Monique, Monet, and Blair. You know, Monique, I thought she looked amazing on the runway and was good in her challenge.
I love Monique.
I guess, to be honest with you, you have to kind of assess like what the team did because she was the team leader, and that commercial was not good.
It was bad.
So it was kind of a little bit of, she got lucky by not being judged on the runway.
Sure, but it just sucks because, I mean, like, last week was absolutely this weird hit job, and now it's like, oh, well, then to have
that... Yeah, let her get this week. Yeah.
To have that be confirmed by, like, oh, she actually didn't do well this time, it's like, it sucks because it's like, oh, well, those other times don't count.
House guests and house visitors. Our house visitors and house guests.
So funny.
I thought it was so funny. Also, these huge, big... titties
Those
that she's doing that are like
foam
pillows.
Titties.
What is going on with that?
I don't know, but she seems to think that they're,
and the judges think it's funny.
So sure, why not? But those were recurring breasts. Recurring breasts, honey.
Recurring breasts. Okay,
Monet.
Let's talk about Monet. So you have an interesting take. You think Monet's stock is plummeting a little bit?
Yeah, I was talking to friend of the show, friend of the pod, Sam Schloss. And we're both like, okay, she's coming out with the same, like, Bob wigs every...
Does seem very repetitive. She gives you the kind of short wig every time. Yeah.
Short wig, you know, glittery, like, sequined, rhinestone thing. Like, two red looks in a row. Her best drag was red. Her feather look was red, too, I believe. And And if you look back on the sponge dress, like, some of the execution was not all the way there.
Well, I like the sponge dress because I think it was interesting to watch.
It's very interesting. It's a great concept.
If you're interesting, you go a long way with me, at least, when it comes to the looks. But, like, Monet, her dress this time was just not interesting.
It's not interesting.
She didn't try to win.
And I'm saying, in the challenge, too, like, I get that she was, like, leading the charge, but, like, she got lost by, like, Asia, by all these other people, by Aquaria, and definitely not Yuhua, but, you know, it's, like...
Also, the thing is, like, these people who do the voiceovers are, like, the narrators. They don't know how to make those exciting at all.
No.
Just, like, talk to the people.
Talk to the people. Make it funny. That's why it was great that Blair's team didn't really have a narrator until the very end, where it's like it starts with like an anecdotal thing of like she's just walking down the street. Like it was a narrative until boom,
yeah.
Let's do voiceovers.
I have to be honest, I was a little surprised to see Blair in the top three.
Yeah,
like, I didn't think she was that good in the challenge. I mean, maybe her team was the best and she was the leader, and so that's why she got there. But she was just kind of like acting her part well, you know what I mean? It wasn't like a winning performance.
Totally, but she was like fun opposite Eureka and Cracker, being like, oh my god, you know, like, yeah, that was fun. Like,
it was definitely fun. I just thought, like, I don't know, it was bizarre to me to see her in the tippy
sure
top.
Yeah, and the dress is elegant,
it's okay,
but it was fine.
Yeah.
And then finally we have, oh no, that's Blair.
That was Blair. That was it. I mean, so we have Asia O'Hara win the week. We had Mayhem and Yuha in the bottom three. Mayhem slays Yuha, bottom two. Yuha with that lip sync.
And yeah.
And now, where do you think we stand? It's been shaken up a little bit because...
Well, truly, like...
We thought Mayhem was a front runner, maybe.
Well, this is... I mean, like, I've said this about a lot of seasons, like seven especially, and even nine, but like, this is like... Not a filler queen in sight, because Cameron's stock rose way up for me.
Yeah, it's pretty even.
It's really even, and there's still like 12 queens. There's like 11 queens left.
You have to think about, like, if they're going to be eliminated for simple things, then what is the weakness of every queen? For me, Mayhem, I think she just might not be like a superstar.
She's not a performer. She's, you know what? She's not going to like hold your attention at a show.
Yeah, to me, she's not like screaming out. You know, she doesn't grab your attention, you know, the way that someone like Alyssa does or Katya does, or like, you know, any of the like stars of the show.
Right.
Like, even like people you remember, like Laganja, you know, they get your attention.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what makes you a star of one of these shows. And Mayhem is kind of just like good at what she does, and we know where she comes from.
Right.
But if you put Detox next to Mayhem,
no
Mayhem
contest
would fade away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then you've got Dusty, who again might not have the star quality, but it's good.
But it's good.
I think like Blair is interesting. I think Cameron can't act and perform, or will get eliminated for that. Vixen, I think, is someone that like might have some like trouble later on.
Like, just really bringing the looks, I think.
The looks are going to be a something. Also, like, you get this, is she super dexterous in performance? Like, in terms of acting?
Sure, sure. Like, is she going to give you the same thing every time?
I'm sure she can turn an incredible lip sync.
Yeah.
But, you know. And then Miss Cracker, she's pretty amazing all around. Monet, like, maybe isn't showing us what she can really do. Aquaria, maybe performance will be an issue.
Yeah. Although Aquaria's been... like solid at like
she's doing good.
Like, she was great, and she was great in this challenge on a performance level, and she was fun in the lip sync extravaganza on episode two. Like, I don't think she's like a bad performer, and I came into the season being like, Aquaria, oh god, like, she's just an Instagram queen. I'm sure
she's pretty good.
She's a performer. She like does a lot. She's a solid live queen.
Yeah. Who do you think's out next week?
Oh, that's tough. I could see. I mean, like, Monique's just like skating down the middle, and I'm worried for her. But I can also see, honestly, I mean, Cameron's been skating down the middle too, even after this week. So I don't know. I'm saying it's like we have 11 evenly matched queens, and like that's huge. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't actually whittle down to like an even field until like.
No, we're gonna be sad to see people go.
Yeah, we are.
I would say right now, leading the charge for probably gonna be out is probably Cameron, only because we saw a big weakness here, which is that she's not really like a super performer in terms of acting, and you know,
she's not gonna make it. She's not gonna make it past Snatch Game. I don't think.
No, I don't think we'll see a Snatch Game.
Yeah,
that's we might not even see Snatch Game from some people that would kill it.
Oh yeah,
I hope they do it for more people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure. I hope they do it earlier.
I hope we see it with 8 people or maybe even 9.
Yes. Okay, so Matt, do you want to end with a...
I have complicated feelings on this?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, great. I can start too.
You'd like me to?
Okay, great. Here you go.
This is Bowen Yang's I Have Complicated Feelings on This, and his time starts now.
I have complicated feelings on when the show still goes on, even when RuPaul is clearly sick.
Yeah.
What the hell was going on this week? I have complicated feelings about RuPaul not being in tip-top shape. I know that she takes care of herself very well. She hikes every morning. She meditates for hours every single day. If RuPaul is sick, if RuPaul cannot speak, if she's suffering as she's talking, I say call off the day, you know? Everyone deserves a sick day every now and then, even Mama Ru.
30 seconds.
So I have complicated feelings on the show trying to very overtly cover up the fact that he's sick and like ADRing and dubbing over his voice.
15 seconds.
In the mini challenge. And God, that main stage was really tough to watch. Rue was suffering.
Towards the end.
She was really withering. So,
5.
Rue, I'm sure, this was months ago, but I hope you feel better.
And that's 1 minute. Okay. Listen, I thought it was so weird too. So distracting that she was not feeling well.
So distracting.
I'm actually not feeling well right now. And I said to Bowen, Rue is like acting how I feel right now.
No.
I'm not allowed to Benadryl people. All right, I'm ready.
Okay, this is Matt Rogers. I have complicated feelings about this. His time starts now.
I have complicated feelings of when they pick the teams.
Yeah.
Because for a show that's supposed to facilitate like positive vibes and everything and inclusion, it's like, why would you feature something that's so like evokes a painful memory for a lot of people, which is like being picked last?
I love this.
Every time some queen gets picked last, it just makes me feel like, oh, this is a juvenile part of the show that is only there to exacerbate drama that we don't necessarily need. Like Project Runway, they do this thing where they pull like stuff out of a bag, like, oh, the bag is here, like now we know a team is going to be randomly chosen, because like I don't know, it's just more respectful.
15 seconds.
I just don't know if we need it. I think we could randomly assort the teams and you'd still be able to get the dramatic pairings that you want, because you could go back and produce it, like you could
5 seconds
rig it a little bit, whatever, but having them pick is mean and it reminds me of a bad time. So I have complicated feelings about that.
Thank you. That's 1 minute. That was gorgeous, Matt. Thank you. I totally agree with you, and I hadn't really thought of it
that way.
This
is the second week in a row they did it, and I was like, oh, God.
And like, where it's clearly affecting people's moods and
mayhem. I think it dictated her whole day.
And Eureka was picked last week too.
Yeah, and then it started a whole chain of events there. I don't know. I guess that then it does get them worked up and emotional, so sure, why not? But I just feel like it's a emotional terrorism that I don't know that like
is very specific
is
to
necessary.
Like, yeah, very specific to people being gay.
And it really resonates with people who like probably stood around in gym class their whole life long or were picked last for being
here.
Like, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, like for being effeminate or being not good at sports. Like,
yep.
That was like always like an anxious moment.
Me. Yeah, it sucks.
Anyway, I have complicated feelings about that.
Well, okay. Well, then we hope you guys have enjoyed listening to our Patreon episode. We're so glad to be back. So thanks so much for listening.
Look forward to more
and with some varied content.
Ha.
Ha ha. So everyone wish Matt to feel better.
Oh, well, it's just a little stuffy nose and a runny, like, post-nasal drip.
Accept the love.
Okay.
Okay, well, I'll thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. Celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women. Creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection. Obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.